You're listening to Strong Women on KEXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton with Laura Connolly. Laura, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Laura partners with us in our Strong Women focus groups. We're here to talk about the most recent one we held on September 30th. The focus of that night was the idea of Speak Up, Lady. And you and I had been talking about this, about the way that women speak, and especially in public. I had heard it in the last time that we discussed our focus group. I heard it even in us.
Yes.
I heard us being less certain of information that we had been researching and was factual. And
yeah.
The language we used was kind of, sort of. And to listen to it after it was spoken and to realize this was a natural tendency of me. And then you and I started talking about the bigger picture of it, about how women show up. So that was what our topic was. It appealed to so many people. We had more interest in this focus group than any other. And we're going to continue maybe the same topic. We're definitely continuing Strong Women, but we were glad to have everybody who showed up. It's really an honor that women trust us and walk in the doors to talk.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
So let's talk a little bit more about, why do you think that women responded more to this Speak Up, Lady? What would be that initial appeal?
I think that one of the big things, just based on the reasons why people said that they came, which we'll get into, and just knowing, you know, so you had put this description online about what we were going to talk about and how there's this thing that we've learned through the focus groups, like women are continuously apologizing. They're feeling like they can't really say what's going on with them because there will be consequences from society and just from people in general about how they're feeling and thinking about their experiences. And so to have a chance to come together in a safe space with other women to be able to actually talk about that is an opportunity to speak up. And it is an opportunity to be heard. And that's a big thing for women.
Mm-hmm. Will you clear up something for me? Because I think saying safe space isn't always relatable, maybe to men who are listening to us right now. Like, what? Why wouldn't any other space be safe for women to talk about something like this?
So you always have to take into consideration the context of people's lives when you do things like this. You know, you and I have this idea that if we can get women together and get all of us to start critically analyzing what's going on with us, that will ultimately affect change for the better for all of us. But women aren't often offered that opportunity. So historically, you know, you have women who have been excluded from public life. And then you also have women who embody this overall disdain for women in our society, you know, that we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, we don't know enough, we haven't had enough experience to be able to talk about stuff.
So you're saying women who think that about other women?
Women think that about themselves.
Okay.
And then they also might think that about other women because that's the story we're told. But for sure, that's just in general,
mm-hmm.
the idea of where women are. So then whenever women walk into any space, they aren't coming into that space with a sense of entitlement to occupy space and say whatever they think and just be heard and believed. Mm-hmm. They're always fighting against a society that really doesn't listen to them and doesn't believe them when they do somewhat listen.
So if women have an inkling of that, if they've thought about, well, you know, why didn't I say something at this public meeting? Could be an inconsequential meeting or, you know, something going on. You're going to a meeting for your kids or something, but you leave and you think, you know, why didn't I say something? What do women usually answer to themselves if they do ask themselves, why didn't I speak?
Well, I think that they probably play into the idea of, well, I didn't know enough to say, or I didn't feel confident in what I was thinking, or I don't know if it would have made any sense or if it even mattered. It's that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's that thinking that you're individually wrong.
Yeah, yeah, and that your individual contribution is worth nothing.
Yeah. So we started this meeting, we asked why people came to the meeting, and I think that's interesting to hear what different lives everybody was coming from and how they made it possible to show up that night. For instance, someone just said, I had a babysitter and I wanted to be here. That was, she was super excited to be there. We had someone say it wasn't the right time in their life. They're like in a good spot in their career. The kids are almost grown. Felt like they wanted to talk about it. We had someone who said, I need help. I apologize way too much.
Yeah. Another woman said that she wants to be a part of these conversations so that she can take things to another level and be a real ally to other women. So that's kind of one thing that's a little bit of an undercurrent that I can feel and you can feel happening because of this stuff in these groups, is that more and more women are trying to be supportive of each other and really listen to each other.
We also asked women directly about this idea of not speaking up in a public sense. And they had lots of different ideas. And then that led to lots of different conversations. I wouldn't say our focus group ended up being specifically about speaking up in public. It was not, I think from the outside, if you weren't there, if you just heard we were doing this, you might think that we were going to give you 5 steps to speaking up in public. We were going to hand you sort of a self-help book. But it became about so much more, as all these groups have become.
Yeah, and I think that for you and me is always kind of the key, is so we have to pay attention to, here's the overall question or the theme of the focus group that we're proposing, and then we listen to how women show up and what they have to say about it, which is very telling. And so this one, actually, we started with you reading a quote. What was it?
Today's women know they can do great things. What they doubt, reasonably enough, is that they can speak well about those things.
And then everybody just kind of went around the circle and reflected on that. And mm-hmm. what they said in relation to that was very revealing. So that was the quote. And then the conversation went to this stuff about how I talk depends on who's at the table in terms of men and women. There are sexual scripts we're supposed to follow that once served a purpose as women as property. I don't want to speak up if I'm going to hurt the male ego, because that doesn't go well. All the rules and regs are so male dominated. Women have to work twice as hard as men to be equal to them, but then also not be seen as a beep, you know.
Yeah. You have to be nice.
Yeah.
You have to show authority and be nice. And I don't think men get that.
I don't either.
I don't think you have to go about your day and be nice and be smiling at everyone.
No, and be really aware of how much time and space you're taking up in any given setting.
There's also, someone talked about women feeling the need to be perfect, that need for perfection can paralyze you.
Oh, absolutely. And just pay attention sometime the next time you're at a meeting or even at a larger gathering. Who's speaking up and why and how? And there are similar characteristics that you start to see in people.
I thought one of the interesting ways we went with this, someone had talked about growing up, and another woman talked that she was a tomboy, and another woman talked about that she had done well early in her career as an educator because she knew how to speak to men. She knew how to jolly up the men. And so she would act more like them. And then this idea of a tomboy because she liked competition. And then we talked some about what does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. how come if you aren't possessing these characteristics that society says are really feminine, then even though you're a girl, you identify as a girl, then you're a tomboy.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but I think someone had talked about that there is some change in the sexual stereotypes or the scripts that men and women have, but they were seeing it more with men, that men were allowed to be emotional now, not so much that what women are supposed to do is changing.
Yeah, for surely, if you look at it from a broader societal lens and look at public discourse, mm-hmm. that's very much true. We kind of rally and get behind the man who can be emotional and in touch with his feelings. But then the woman still, if she's doing that and she's in public life, then she's emotional, illogical, irrational.
And even the talk of how a father is considered to be babysitting if he's home with the child.
Yeah, very different. I still hear people say that to this day, and I'm always like, that's really interesting. Nobody ever said that about me when I was with the kids.
Now, what do you mean by that word interesting, Laura? So let's talk about why these things exist and kind of break it down, because that's some of the work that you have done in your career to help us understand that this isn't about us specifically, that this is how things have been set up.
Yes. So it kind of goes back to how we have said from the beginning that everything is designed to get what it gets. So when you think about if you have a society that is hierarchically organized, which we have, so think of society, it's in the shape of a pyramid. So you have people at the top and people at the bottom. And there's a level of dominance and control that keeps people in their positions where they are. And women are, you know, at the bottom of the pyramid in our society. And so when that happens, you have to think about how individual lives are connected to social context. Because otherwise, so the people at the top of our society never believe that the people at the bottom can think for themselves, that what they have to say is legitimate. You know, it's kind of gets spun as we have to do everything for them because they don't really know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then we as individual people come to believe that to be true. So we start to think that something is individually wrong with us. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm too big here. I'm too small there. I shouldn't have said that. When in actuality, it's not individual people. It's like a social problem because so many of us think that.
Let's talk about a nuance on that, because I was recently having a conversation about how men have perceived the whole Me Too movement and men who are great guys who would never do that in their lives, I think especially, have had a hard time understanding what that movement is all about because they don't see it played out in their everyday life. And so it's part of the system, but men too have not, they don't know that that's the system. That's how they've been brought up and that's how we have been brought up. And so I guess what I'm asking you is women tend to always, in any of the groups we've had, if they do start talking about their partners or males in their life, they feel the need to say, but this guy is great. I wouldn't, you know, they need to kind of apologize or make space for, they don't want to criticize what's going on in the world. They feel like they need to protect men in some ways, which is really counterintuitive to what you just said.
Yeah, and I think that that's what happens when you have a society like we have. So one of the things that we learned in one of our focus groups, and we talked about it, was this idea of misplaced compassion. So women are really, we have been socially constructed to believe that we are the caretakers of other people's emotions and feelings. That's our job. Mm-hmm. And so we start to like care more about how men are going to feel about what we're saying versus how we actually feel about the experiences that we're having. So instead of that, we should be comfortable having the feelings we have based on what we're experiencing and be able to articulate that and be able to be heard and be able to have things change versus always wanting to caretake for men. Every group, somebody has to say something about men. I even do it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm like, this isn't about something is individually wrong with men. They're equally socially constructed. We care about them. We have to do that because otherwise people make it that we're angry, that we don't like men. You know, it's that stuff starts happening.
Where we're supposed to be smiling and happy at all times. And so to be critical of something makes you a certain kind of person that is automatically put off to the side a little bit and isn't, even though you're showing some authority because everything has kind of been set up that way, you get labeled as that kind of person.
Yeah. And I just don't think if you like listen to a group of men talking about their experience in society, that it would go to the place of, well, let's just be clear. Like, you know, we love women. It's not going to happen. I don't know. Do you think?
No.
Okay.
I want to talk about specifically what someone had told us about emotions, because we've mentioned emotions a little bit, about having emotions but putting them to the side. And what do you think that means? We had a specific comment.
Absolutely. And this is actually a really common thing. And I think it's come up in every one of our groups. We just haven't really held it up to the light and named it. So the one woman in particular said, I just put my emotions in a little box in my mind. You know, so women are literally compartmentalizing their feelings because they've been told so many times throughout their life that women are too emotional. We're irrational. We don't think logically. We're crazy. It's a very real thing. So like when we were talking earlier about the way that society is organized, the people at the bottom, you have to dehumanize them on some level to get them to stay at the bottom of the pyramid. So you need them to come to believe that they are not smart. They are emotional. They aren't physically beautiful enough to be the most successful person. When really, what does that matter?
So something that came up, because I think these conversations, we see it happen. We see it on the faces, especially between generations of the people who show up there. They're learning from each other. They're really listening to each other in a way that even with a group of friends, other women, you aren't, because you fall into your own patterns. You don't think of these bigger sorts of topics to be talking about. But what does this solidarity, what can this do you think, to our system of women actually talking about these things?
A couple things with that. So having a focus group like this with just a random group of women who decide to show up because they want to is part of what we would call, you know, just giving witness to people's experience. So bear witness to, which means we're giving proof to people's lived experiences, and this is what's going on with them, which is actually a liberating process. To have an experience where you're like, oh, this isn't only happening to me, or I actually am not crazy, or something is like fundamentally wrong with me. This is a common thing that we've been taught, is very freeing. And then this whole other idea of coming together and supporting each other and standing in solidarity is the only way that we're ever going to be able to change it. Because keeping us apart and keeping us not talking and not listening to us is what is keeping us down.
And we have the power to get together like this. You can show up at these meetings. You can talk with your friends about this. One of the things that has been in a number of these groups has to do, that I've learned a lot from, has to do with fear and sort of your everyday life. And I think you said something to me as we talked about, you know, especially as a young woman goes off to college and she's often told by her mother, you know, you got to watch make sure you keep alert, carry the mace, make sure you're safe. And you said something to me like, imagine if you didn't have that taking up space.
Oh, I know. I think about that all the time. So yeah, let's use college for example. So, you know, you're a young woman, it's late night, you're at the library, you're the last one there, you have to walk back to your apartment alone. It's dark. Mm-hmm. So the whole time, when you're getting ready to leave, suddenly, even if you're consciously thinking it or not, you're preparing yourself for that walk home, knowing that something could happen to you along the way, because it happens all the time to women. So it's not like it's just this irrational fear right. that we have. It's a very real thing that's going on. And it takes up a lot of our space internally.
And someone said at this meeting about even an elevator, waiting for an elevator, and if it opens up and there's somebody in there and you have this intuition, a man's in there that you get kind of a strange vibe from, usually a woman's going to go in anyway because you feel like that's what I have to do. I'm waiting for the elevator. I'm not going to make the choice to not get in this elevator.
Yeah, or you feel like your fear is irrational because yeah. somebody has been telling you it is. Like, just get in there, go.
Right.
And what we're saying is always trust your intuition because it's always right. Part of what's happening today is because, you know, you think about our education, like our public education, how you and I grew up, right? Mm-hmm. And even I would argue still to this day, it's probably changing a little bit, but not to the extent that it needs to, is that men have been the shapers and thinkers of the world. When you think about the written stuff that we read, it's typically from the male perspective. And then there's also this thing where that's natural, right? Like that they just naturally should be. And it's actually not natural. It's a social construct, and it is intentionally that way. And so for us to kind of keep pushing back against that, that we want to have our thinking out there, we want to learn from other women, is really important. because then it gives us a little bit more of the power, if you will.
And we had someone who was in the group that had really done some work and study about, as she called it, the sexual scripts and how gender is set up in society. And we learned a lot from her. And I think one of the things she said is she had been able to reframe how she thought about things. She started to think about that if she felt discomfort about trying something new or saying something, that that was actually a trigger to tell herself she had the right to talk or she has the right to do this new project instead of knocking her down to not try something new.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where you get into this idea of kind of critically analyzing your thinking or critical thinking. So that's when you can do this thing where you can figure out what is going on with you in your mind that's actually you and what's actually what you've been told your whole life about who you are. So I've told you before, you know, like when I was little, my grandma would say this thing about you need to pay attention to the voices in your head, whose they are and which one you're listening to. And that's that notion that some of this stuff that pops into our minds about what we can and can't do isn't actually our own thinking. We've been told that our whole lives.
We should give a little moment for your grandma, Lydia, right?
Yes, yeah. We should.
I'm glad that she told you that because I think you've been kind of spreading that to other women probably ever since.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Strong Women on KEXE KBXE. It's made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. We said at the beginning we had great response to this last focus group, and absolutely we will be doing more of them. And so keep tuned to KEXE KBXE and through our social media and find out if you can attend the next one.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Laura.